Are you standing at a crossroad in life, being called to express yourself in a new way? You could ignore the nudging, or you could answer the call and change the trajectory of your life. Hi, I'm Mary Jo Rathgeb, life transition coach and host of the Creative Directions for Living podcast. I invite you to join me on a journey to explore your potential for expression and step onto a path filled with purpose and possibility.
I have a guest with me today, Naila Baraki, who is going to be giving us some, her insights around fear. And before we get into that, first, I want to just kind of define what fear is and some of the perceptions that are around it so that we can then delve into, you know, how they may or may not be the best perceptions. And so I would just want to start, I love starting with definitions. And so what is fear actually? According to the Oxford Dictionary, it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. That's a noun. And then the verb is to be afraid of someone or something as likely being dangerous, painful, or threatening. And so that explains, I think, why a lot of people are afraid of fear, because they don't want pain, they don't want threats, they don't want danger. And it's also interesting because there's a lot of people who have the quotes, you know, fear, it's false evidence appearing real, the only thing to fear is fear itself, you know, so there's a lot of different, beliefs around fear that are out there. And so Naila, I want you to say something about fear, and then I actually want to properly introduce you. But
that definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that definition that you just read, mm-hmm. Actually gives some clarity, because it says that it's imminent danger. So, so that is not something we should be living with. You know, it's imminent danger, and usually, that's not what's going on with people.
Okay.
If there's no threat, if there's no real threat going on and it's not immediate danger, then what is it? So we've been taught that fear is a one thing, and that's bad. But in the Bible, 360 times, it says that fear is a good thing. All throughout the Bible, they keep reiterating
that it's a good thing.
Because fear, fear can save your life. It's an alert system. It's inborn. We do have it. But like anything else, when it's misused and out of place and manipulated, then we use that word very do a lot of terms. But if you didn't have what I term is good fear, then you would not have your warning device. So good fear is intuition, instinct, and courage. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times we don't use those words. We'll say, here's an example of your good fear. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling that I should cross the street. Something told me that I shouldn't stand over there. And then you witness that a brick fell from a building. Or people will say, I should have listened to my first mind, intuition. Say, my gut told me. Mm-hmm. But that's all good fear. So without that, you would be at the other end of the extreme, which is fearless. And that's cautionary as well, because you don't want to walk into a burning building because you're just feeling like, nothing's going to happen to me. You've seen things happen when you're fearless, but there's a place for all of these, emotions. And so we've all been afraid, and it's not bad to have fear. It's just that when we misuse it and we live with fear in our heads versus what's really going on, that's when we create a story, because you're part of you. Oh, I'm so afraid. I want to do it, but I'm so afraid. We're entrepreneurs, we're healers, we're teachers, we're educators, we're all of these things. But if we didn't step out on the fear to see what we could do, nothing would get done. And then we would say, You know, I was afraid it wouldn't work out, and it didn't, because you didn't do anything, because fear had stopped you, allowed fear to stop you. You used the term out of place. There's no imminent danger.
Okay. So before we go any further, what?
Generations.
Yeah, no, before we go any further.
Fear runs through generations.
Fear runs through generations? Yeah. So fear is a learned behavior as well.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Before we go any further, I'm going to properly introduce you.
So in my book.
Yeah. So Dr. Naila Baraki is a holistic healing arts professional, counselor, and Reiki master. And she uses laugh therapy, breath work, and many timeless modalities to bring clients more inner peace, joy, money, and the ability to receive more. She has helped people manage career and life transitions, launch new businesses, overcome significant challenges, and find purpose in life. And her ability to empower others can best be described as transformational. And her goal is really to help others make a difference in their own life and the life of others. And she has written a book that's called Fear is a Good Thing. And so, Naila, you were just about to talk about your book. And so please, fear, it's a good thing. Okay. Yes. So,
yeah. So I start off with, you know, so how fear is a good thing and is fear real? Mm. So as you define, it's real when there's an imminent danger. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, sometimes it's something that we create within ourselves and it becomes a natural feeling because we don't know how to navigate a lot of our emotions. You know, we have our chronological age, but our emotional age is so much younger, you know, than us. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us hurt like a baby. Yes. You know, we don't know how to handle our emotions.
Yes.
But I started, you know, I thought about babies, you know, because I come from a big family and I got to, you know, observe a lot of babies. And you know, babies and little kids are fearless. You know, they'll put their hand in anything, they'll taste anything. You know, they're fearless until they learn differently. So their first sign of fear is just being startled. You startle babies, you know, mm-hmm. or something hot or cold, they get startled. But then as they grow, we tell them, stop, that's hot. You get hurt, you'll do this, you do that. And we begin to learn which should be caution, turns out to be, you know, a fear. Mm-hmm. And then we always have these wonderful uncles, mm-hmm. aunts, and neighbors that have these sayings, like you were saying, fear, false illusion, you know, appearing real. Or, you know, we'll have family members that have, you know, all these sayings that if you, oh my goodness, I'm trying to think of one of those examples. I know you got mm-hmm. one, Mary Jo, from when you're growing up, they're telling you something that if you don't watch out, oh, the boogeyman, here's one, the boogeyman, it's gonna get you. You know, people become afraid, kids become afraid of the dark because right. of the fears that they, you know, that learn as they grow up. So all throughout the ages into adolescence and young adulthood, we build a little arsenal of different, you know, fear beliefs,
right?
And we build fear systems.
Mm.
So someone might be afraid of something. And you'll say, "Oh, that's silly. Why are you afraid of that?" And they're terrified. Mm-hmm. And there may be something that you're afraid of, you know. Mm-hmm. And people don't get it because this is something that once it becomes part of your belief system, your body's like an alarm. It responds to it. It responds to your thoughts, your emotions, and it reacts. So I said to myself, you know, most of our fears, when I sat and thought about it, we faced a lot of our fears already. I'm not sure if you have any particular new fears, you know, unless you haven't experienced it before. Disappointment, people dying,
mm-hmm.
leaving, abandonment, mm-hmm. fear of falling in love, fear of aging, fear of the beyond, you know, what's going on after. People are thinking about what's going on beyond, and they haven't even lived yet. Right. Health, you know, right. Fear their health, and they can worry, you can worry about your health until you create a health disorder. As a matter of fact, the National Alliance on Mental Health states that all anxiety and depression is rooted in fear. Mm. So you know what that means? That means that root, that fear has relatives and has family. Mm. So the family members, the major ones are sabotage, procrastination, and depression.
Wow.
Now, you know, sabotage, we learned that early because people will tell us what we can and cannot do, mm-hmm. what we shouldn't do, what we should not attempt to do. And sometimes as we grow older, you know, that in that implanted that seed of thought, we begin to work on things and we end up self-sabotaging ourselves, not intentionally, but it's there. It's already been implanted. And so we'll say, you know, I tried that, but nothing really happened. And you may have just attempted it once or twice. Mm-hmm. So when people say try, I always throw that out the window because my father said to me, what did try ever do?
Right.
And I couldn't get, I never found out what try did. So,
right.
That one out the window. So you become discouraged. Right. So we become discouraged, you know? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever had that where you were told that there was something you shouldn't do, maybe because you're a girl or, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like for LA, feet too flat. I enjoyed it. I didn't know my feet were flat until I was on my toes. What are you talking about? And just no, you don't, you know, and you just become discouraged, especially if you're young.
Right.
You don't have the mindset to challenge that. You just take it all in. But later on, as workplaces is really popular, I get a lot of clients with, you know, being in a workplace. Someone's trying to take your place. You're not good enough. You can't get it right. You want it perfect. Mm. Perfection is the perfect lie. That's another fear for it, because when I can't get it right, something terrible is going to happen to me.
Right.
If I become successful, something is going to happen to me. Terrible things are going to happen to me. And we take all of that, and now we can't sleep. Now we're stressed out. We're not sleeping. We're doing mindless eating. We're waking up 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, worried about the fear of what may happen. Mm. So good fear challenges us. It's really, you know, if we could use fear, bad fear as a tool for good fear, for our own personal development.
Mm-hmm. So what is good fear? Give me an example.
Okay. Bad fear is when so you have a thought, you're going to, something terrible is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're not working well at your job. Let's say just take the job and not working well at the job. But instead of addressing it, meeting the fear head on and finding out the things that you may need to improve upon, and that when you're given ideals or feedback on what is not working, that we don't take that and sabotage ourselves and remove ourselves from the position or even try to push forward. Good fear would say, meeting the bad fear with good fear is, this is not working out. What else can we do? Bad fear doesn't give you options. Bad fear just takes you down emotionally. Mm. You're not thinking about options. You're not thinking about strategies. You're not thinking about what's next. You're just thinking about this feeling. And you're allowing that feeling to take you down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. And so then I'm just wondering, if bad fear is a, you know, like a feeling that takes you down, what is good fear from a feeling perspective? How do people know what good fear feels like?
Good fear is hope. It brings you up. Good fear says that there is options. Good fear says that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that darkness is for the moment. But in that darkness, what can I learn about myself? What is it? What is in this particular space within me that I'm feeling like I'm not enough, that I'm so fearful I'm gonna lose my job. No one even said that to me. But because now I've have my inner critic is judging me, the sabotager is working on me. The depression is setting in. Now I'm going to a doctor. I'm still not working with my good fear. Now I'm going to go to a doctor. And it takes about 10 minutes to get a prescription. I haven't been sleeping. I'm restless. I feel down. You're getting a prescription. But the prescription is not going to do the job that you need to do.
Right.
And there's no pill that any one doctor has given you that says that you are off the hook for your own self-care and your good mental health. But good fear, using your intuition, using your instinct, if you know you're not doing the best you can, then you take it upon yourself, use your good fear, because now good fear builds up an ability for you to withstand whatever feedback or criticism, you know, that's going to come to you, and you can use that to make things better rather than to use it to say, see, I know I wasn't doing good. See, even everybody knows it. You know, instead of that attitude, it's like, you know, I would love to work on that. Can you help me? See, because with bad fear, you don't want to ask because now your ego's in the way. Your ego's in the way. You don't want to ask. Your inner critic is like, see, didn't I tell you? And the fear is like, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we feel that way getting on stage.
Right. Stage fright.
Well, I mean, even people who are experiencing it, just before they get there, that fear freezes their throat. You know, I go, the lights just kind of, I'm like a deer at the headlights. I'm like, take me. You know, it gets very difficult.
Yeah.
Fear is a huge topic because it's in everything. It's in your relationships. It's how you view yourself. You know, there is no one that is perfect. If sometimes your best is not good enough because fear is telling you that it's not good enough. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to pass. And some people, you know, I've had some students, they got a passing grade, but they were fearful because in their family, that wouldn't be acceptable.
Right.
So then they were afraid to share the grade that they received instead of them saying, I did my best on this and I'll do better. The fear just took them away from being able to find a solution.
Right.
And I thought if people could just rethink fear and how they can use that as a tool to lift themselves, you know, out of that self-sabotage and the inner critic, you know, those feelings are going to come. Fear's not supposed to go away. And that's a big problem. They're procrastinating, fear's cousin. They're not going to do something until I'm not afraid. See, when I stop being afraid of this, that's when I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work.
You're right. And when people come to you, I mean, when I work with people, a lot of people want to, you know, get rid of their fear. Like, that's one of the reasons that they want support. It's like, you know, please help me get rid of my fear.
Right. No, we don't want to get rid of the fear. Fear is the energy. We want to take that energy of fear, bad fear, and we want to shift it and use our good fear. So when I say good fear and why it is good is because darkness and the light are always there together. When the sun is here in the U.S., in another country, it's night. It's like yin and yang. It's always happening together.
Right.
But it's always a new day. There's always a new night. So they're always there together. And a lot of times people are looking at their fear and their problems instead of looking at the solution and the courage that it would take to actually put it in action. And the the procrastination, waiting until it can get better. Help for it, fine, if the person can help you work with your fear, not get rid of it, because no matter what you say consciously, the subconscious wins. It's always at work. You already program it. It has to start from then at a deep level. I need some of it. I need it to help me, you know, to be out in the world. I need my fear to guide me intuitively. That's the warning mechanism. The danger of bad fear is that your intuition can't kick in with all the loud voices of fear are shouting at you. So that's when we begin to talk about modalities that can help you balance that fear. And one of them is breath work, calming down the breath. Because by the time you're afraid, nothing is stable. The breath is not stable. You're just full of anxiety. Mm. So breath work is a great modality to bring us, to our center so that we can utilize this, this good fear. And when I wrote the book, I made this is a good fear guided journal because this way people can confront themselves. You know, they can they can read a chapter and then they can do some reflection. And, a lot of times we'll admit more about what's going on with ourselves on paper than we would if we're talking to somebody. Mm. And it brings it into, it's concrete. We can look at it. Because when it's in our head, it's so much bigger.
Right.
From your head to paper, right. It's like, oh, why didn't I think, oh, I see it now. And when you get that feeling, you automatically shift into that good fear feeling.
Okay.
Fear not.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've just provided us with a couple of really good tips. One is like when you start feeling that bad fear, really starting to just calm yourself down with your breath and then being able to write them out, in a journal.
Get back
really
in your
ways.
Body. Because when you're feeling fearful, when you're feeling fearful, you're not in your body. You ever feel anxiety? You're just kind of out there. Yeah. You got to come back in.
Yeah.
Bring your breath back in. And I laugh a lot because it really, I enjoy laughing anyway, but I found laughter to be, a great healing modality. Have you ever been upset and someone wanted you to laugh and you were like, I don't want to laugh right now. I'm just upset, just off angry. And they just want you to laugh, and you just don't want to. And then you start laughing and you're even saying, I don't want to laugh. And you start laughing and then everything shifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love laughter.
Laughter doesn't need direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, what do they say? Laughter is the best medicine.
To laugh at. It is. And because they said that, I looked into humor and laughter. And do you know they have an Institute of Applied Humor and Laughter? And it's about 32 years old.
Wow.
There's so much research on laughter. So here's some of the things that I found out about laughter. Just the anticipation of something that's going to be funny can alleviate depression. Hmm. 39%. It's twice as strong as the antidepressant.
Wow.
So people are more productive after taking a humor break,
Because
that third
break,
cup of coffee and that
it.
Donut is not going to get it. It's not going to make you
not a good humor break, just a humor break.
A humor break because it helps recall. Because when you get nervous and filled with anxiety and stress and you're feeling fearful, you can't really think. But when you begin to laugh and you automatically begin, the happy endorphins kick in. And it helps you with recall. It helps you with memory recall. And so, the Association of Applied Therapeutic Humor, right? It's a nonprofit organization. They do workshops every year. I wanted to go to the one they had last year, but coronavirus struck, so that was out. But I'm looking forward to get into it. Yeah. So it decreases stress 39% and recall. And also, it's a critical role in your life. It helps leaders become better leaders and business people, better business people and speakers. If you notice, a lot of speakers, or if you've been in, you know, I'm sure you said in some conferences where they always had, always had a little humor. They always shared just a little humor. You know, just to break up all, you know, all of that.
Tension.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always there, but it's very beneficial. Very beneficial. It helps with depression because it's tangible. Sometimes the depression, you've sunk so low, you don't even know why you feel so bad. And just a smile can make you feel better. Now, here's the thing about laughter that I love so much. Even if you are giving me a fake laugh, you know that one? The fake laugh, you know, you've met the fake laugh. You've all met it. That you still get the benefit. You still get the benefit because the body does not know. It doesn't register fake or real. If you're doing it, the body's registering it. So that's a great benefit all to itself. So I love laughter. I love using breath work. And I also use in my practice EFT, the emotional freedom techniques. It's also known as tapping. And tapping has been proven. It's been scientifically proven, accepted by the American Psychological Association now, to alleviate stress very quickly. You can go from 10 to zero. In a short amount of time. So, and it was derived from TAT, and TAT is a tapping method. This was used for soldiers coming back. The one of the most approved method for treating veterans, just tapping and just, you know, getting back into the body, getting centered. Well, we should do a tapping session, huh? So I'm already doing it. It's almost automatic with me now, but it's an effective modality, and it's on YouTube, the beginner modality, you know, of model of, you know, of tapping. You can't do it wrong. You know, but just to understand that you're tapping on the meridians and chakras, you know, of the body, or as some people might refer to as, you know, as pressure points, you know, that will break up that pattern of stress and depression, anxiety, and anger quickly. Because these are energies, and these are energies that you want to use. You don't want to dispel all that energy out into the air and into the ethers, you know, around you. You don't want to do that. You want to use that energy. So I think that if we learn to use our negative fear, as we call it, or bad fear, and say, oh, I'm feeling angry. Take a breath, you know, maybe do some tapping, and, you know, or just kind of laugh. What is this really about? Stop and ask questions about it instead of just, I don't want you to not feel it. I want you to feel it because I want you to learn from it. And I want you to ask, why am I feeling this way? And I want you to answer. People say, don't talk to yourself. You can talk to yourself, but don't answer. But I'm saying answer. you can tap into what's going on with you. Yeah, answer. And so that was the you know, the main reasons of it. And I also included a personal code of ethics. There's always a code of ethics that either we inherited, that we live by, that's causing us some fear, or that we made it up, or we experienced something with one person or one situation, and we're carrying that over into another. And so I wrote a personal code of ethics, and I asked people to write their own. And it's sort of like an affirmation, but it's like when you're feeling down, you can decide to think a good thought. And I wrote it where you can sort of insert your name, and you can affirm to commit to following. I put 10 agreements. You can create your own. And one is to create value for yourself. And two is to manifest your intentions. You know, if you intend to do something and you're fearful you know, about it. And you know that there's no imminent danger, as you read definition in the dictionary, which is true. Then step out on faith. Use your courage and do it. Agree to communicate unapologetically. Sometimes we don't want to communicate because we don't want to look stupid. We feel like I look stupid, and you know, they'll look at me, that will reflect on me negatively. All questions are good. They're all good. If one person explains it to you and you don't get it, ask somebody else, because even though they know what they're talking about, someone may explain it to you differently and you'll get it. You know, that's why they have these books, The Five Love Languages, how we communicate, how we hear it, smell it, see it, taste it. Some people can just say something real simple and you get it. Someone can go into details and you're lost. It's like, I don't want to man you, just, could you just, some people like, show me, and I, you know, and I'll get it. So, and support yourself in keeping your agreements. So it's great that someone comes to see you to help them, because we all need help. We all need some assistance. We need, you know, a guide, a coach, a counselor, you know, whatever it is, a mentor. But you also have to support yourself in the agreement. You have to be in the game. You have to put some skin in there.
Right.
You have to let go of that particular fear and transform it into something usable for yourself. Unless you need to get the heck out the way, you know, unless there's intimate fear, you know, and then you have to agree to have some compassion for yourself and what you don't know, what you didn't do, and what we're carrying that was so fearful that we thought may have been protecting us for a while, but now it's time to take that energy and use it for your highest good instead of the survival level.
Right. Nice.
I could talk about fear being a good thing all day long.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Thank you, Naila. And so you shared with us so many tips too. I mean, it was like between the laughter, the breath work, the tapping. Did I miss something? I mean, those three things, but there was four.
Yeah.
But then also even just having compassion for yourself.
Compassion for yourself, self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, it can be very challenging and difficult for people to accept themselves when they've always thought that they were afraid just to be who they are because they wouldn't be accepted, because someone would criticize them or say something bad about them, and they would take that in and they just use it and create their own, you know, critic. When perhaps we could take that same information instead of it bringing us down, we can look at it and say, you know what? Yeah, it might be a little true, but you know what? Now that I know that, I can shift that. I can turn that around. I can transform that energy.
Yes.
We need all of it. We need all of our emotions. We just need to learn how to use them.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. That's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Naila, for this. I mean, it's you know, been really, really informative. And what I'm really, really appreciating about it is the idea that we were talking about fear specifically here, you know, but transforming the quote unquote bad fear into good fear. But it's really the idea that your emotions are energy and that there's no real good or bad. It's just what it, you know, like the belief systems around it that make it so. And that if you determine something is bad, you can also undetermine that and you can change your beliefs and start to use that energy in a more constructive way for yourself than letting it stop you or sabotage you. And I love that message. I think that's so powerful and so empowering.
I love the way you said it back. I love the way you said it back. Because using it in the way that you described, as we talked about, you could become a better decision maker, a better employee, a better entrepreneur, a better whatever whatever it is that you're doing. And the compassion you give yourself will allow you to give more compassion to others.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of the behaviors that you're talking about, I put them under the umbrella of people pleasing, and that is, you know, that kind of behavior is what ends up getting people tangled up too. You know, they're trying to do the right thing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fear. And a lot of times that's learned, you know, growing up, because, you know, we have parents and we want to please our parents. Mm-hmm. And when they get disappointed, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you know, as a young child, you're not going to make all these highly intellectual decisions. You're going to take it in as they're not pleased. I can't do anything to please them. They're not happy. Because sometimes parents are happy. Sometimes they're, you know, they're not. And sometimes mm-hmm. they're just passing, you know, their teachings from their parents on to us. So it's yes. inherited. So we have to kind of look at what's been inherited, what's usable, you know, and what's not usable. So
right.
So I have the book here.
So yeah. How can people get the book?
Fear, it's a good thing. It's at Barnes and Nobles for the ones that are left. It's on Amazon. Okay. It's on all media. It's at my website too, which is Naila G. Baraki NailaGBaraki.com. I'm thinking about my email.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. And so thank you so much for this. What is one last pearl of wisdom you want to leave the listeners with today?
Well, listen, first, I just want to thank you so much for inviting me and talking about fear. Let's put fear in the right perspective. It'll save you years of therapy. Using fear is a good thing. I'm not trying to put myself out of business.
Right.
You know, but I'll give you one that my mother gave me. Mm. We got one life to live, and there's no dress rehearsal. Mm. You know, so whatever we think that we have planned for this, mm-hmm. there's always the unexpected. There's always things that are happening that are out of our control. So remember, we can only take care of what's in our control. That mm-hmm. these are the things that I would like people to remember.
Okay.
You got this awesome. One time. You know, if you believe in reincarnation, you know, you may come back. You may not forget. You may not remember this one.
Right. And you may have to repeat it. That's not necessarily a pass.
Right. Yeah, right. So don't let bad fear rob you.
Okay. Awesome. And what was that statement you know, you had? Say it one more time. I just want to make sure that we get it really clean.
You have one life to live. This is no dress rehearsal.
No, before that, it was about fear, saving you years of therapy.
Oh, yeah. You can save yourself years of therapy using good fear. That's not quite how I said it.
Yeah.
You can save yourself years of therapy using bad fear as a good thing.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much, Naila, for sharing all of your wisdom.
It was my pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm Mary Jo Rathgeb, life transition coach and founder of Creative Directions for Living. I'll meet you at the crossroads where creativity and courage await.